Okay.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Unfortunately, I was not here this morning, but I heard just that you had a very nice service. Hope you just forgive me, but I had some changes in plans. What I was preparing for this afternoon got changed, and our father talked to me a little bit and said he wanted something else to come instead of what I was thinking about. So I just want to ask you the question. We're God's people, aren't we? Yeah, we are. Okay. Our Father and our Son, they speak to us often. But do we really hear them? Do we hear their voices when they're talking to us? Do we know what they're saying to us? Or is it that we are so much in this world, so much in this society, so much a part of the things going on with us, our personal problems, the problems that just making a trip to come down to the feast, whatever, just many, many things that come up in our lives that disrupt us and confuse us and frustrate us. And so we don't hear all the time the voice of God when He's talking to us. We don't hear, and we don't even listen as often as we should. Not that we don't get messages here and there, but we should be talking and communicating with our Father and with our elder brother every single day, almost continually and constantly. But I don't think we really do. And because of that, I think we have more problems than we really should have. And it seems as though the thing that God wants me to just bring to you is, because it affects me too, it's something that I don't listen to Him. It's not something I'm saying that you are the ones that are at fault. I'm at fault. Because I don't listen to Him all the time. But He wants us to tune into Him on His frequency and on His wavelength. He wants us to get to know Him better. He wants us to be more of a part of Him, to learn more and more about His way of life, and to put off this old carnal way of life that we have. We still, even though we have God's Spirit, we're still shackled with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of the life. We don't really have the true communication that we need and that we should have with our Father and with His Son. And so I just want to kind of talk to you about it a little bit, because there's a couple of men in the Bible that they had a little problem with this too. One of them lived in a far land, and he was the wealthiest man of all the world at that time. And he had more wisdom, more understanding than anyone else. And he, in his mind, was the greatest because he was righteous. But he might have been just a little self-righteous, a little bit more righteous than he should have been. So he had to be brought down a little bit. And that's probably happened to us, because see, when you're in God's church and you're His child, He corrects us and He chastens us all the time. And when we bring forth fruit in our lives, what He does is He prunes us a little bit more so that we can bring forth more fruit. So just because we're growing, it doesn't mean that we've got it made. Just because we've been around for 45 years like I've been, it doesn't mean that we know everything. We should still be learning, we should still be growing, we still should be maturing. We need to get to know our Father and His Son better and better. And so a lot of things that are happening to us are because of that. That He's pruning us and He's allowing us to have problems and trials. And He might even cause you to lose everything that you got. Like me. I've lost everything, but I've got God. And so I haven't lost everything. Because He's able, even though you lose all your material things that you have, you lose your home, you lose your family. I've lost my wife, my family, my home, cars, my savings, everything. But see, we've got a God who is able to give right back. And the gentleman that I want to talk to you about here today lost everything. And he didn't have any more. And even his wife told him, hey, you ought to give up and just curse God and then let him be over with. And then this gentleman said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to obey God. And he thought he was right. But there was a young man, you know, he had some friends that came along. And the friends said to him, buddy? Well, they didn't call him buddy. They just, you know, whatever. I'll just say Joby. There was Job. Joby. Hey, you've been doing this wrong. You haven't been obeying God. And that's why you're getting kicked in the pants all over the place. And so they went and they criticized him for a whole, I think it was like about 32 chapters worth of conversations and communication with him. They were just talking with him and putting him down. But there was another young man that was there who hadn't been around for such a long time. His name was Elihu. And Elihu said, he just listened and he waited because he was respectful to those older gentlemen who were his, were real close friends to this Joby guy. And he didn't want to butt in and put his two cents in when he thought maybe they would come up with the wisdom that God was showing him. And so what happened is that after they had finished their conversation with Joby, just call him that, they said, let's go and read what he said to them. I think it's over in Job chapter 32. Let's read what Elihu told the three friends. So these three, in verse 32, verse 1, so these three men, they ceased answering to Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And they couldn't convince him that he wasn't, that he was doing things not according to what God wanted. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachio, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. See, that could be us too. You see, we could be justifying ourselves, that we're not as close to God, we're not communicating to him, we don't really get to know him as much as we should, because, you know, I'm already grown as tall as I need to be, and I'm already there. Verse 3, also against his three friends, Elihu spoke, with his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, and yet they condemned Joby. Now, Elihu had waited until Job had spoken, because they were older than him. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And he answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and does not show you mine opinion. He was very respectful. He was a good guy. He was a obedient guy. Obedient to the laws and the principles of God. Not just the commandments, but the statutes and the judgments and showing respect to the elders and showing that honor and looking to them the way that God expects us to look to older people. Therefore, in verse 10, therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show you my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while you searched out what you were saying. Yeah, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Joby, or that answered his words. You didn't give him the answers he was looking for. He asked you questions. He asked you to search this out, to show him what was going on that's wrong. And you didn't do it. Why? Could it be that they were not communicating God? Could it be that they weren't getting their answers from God? That they were just getting these things from their own mind? And you know, among us, there's a lot of differences. but there still should be that love, there still should be that respect, there should, still should be that honor, that still should be that concern and that mercy and looking at the other person's opinion and listening to it and evaluating and checking things out. Because we could be wrong, because there's a lot of things that I've studied into. See, I was in the Worldwide Church since about 1962. And I had some disagreements with the ministry there. And I brought those things out, not just with brethren, because I had the responsibility of teaching some of the young people. And we had, while the regular services were going on, we had a different service among the teenagers in a different part of the building. And so that, they were getting stuff that was a little bit different from the parents, and I guess they went back and told the parents that it was slightly different. And then I was approached and then told that, hey, you're instructing them differently. Well, to me, it was according to the scriptures and according to what God was showing me, and I was just pointing that out for the young people, and they seemed to really enjoy it, and they enjoyed listening to me, so I thought it was the right thing. And unfortunately, it was not acceptable to the ministry, and so I got disfellowshipped in 1980. So that's just something that happened way in advance to the major split up about 16 years later, but it gave me an opportunity to do a lot more studying, a lot more researching on things that I was thinking about. And but what happened is I began to get puffed up, because I said, well, they don't teach the way that that what they're teaching is not according to the scripture. And I started getting a big head, and I started, they don't know this, and they don't know that, and they don't see this, and they don't see that. They're teaching blasphemy. It's not right. And so it created some further problems, because then I got to the point where I thought I knew it all. I got to be like Job. I became self-righteous. I became opinionated. And so nobody could tell me anything. And that wasn't so good. That wasn't a very good thing anymore. And so now we came down to the same kind of a situation. I find out that Job had it too. And so then Elihu, I'm going to skip over here, because Elihu got filled up with the Spirit of God. He was inspired. He wanted to really let them know. And that's what I want to keep bringing back to you. Are we listening for the voice of God? Are we hearing Him when He speaks to us? Are we tuned in to His frequency? Are we really on that, like, cell phone? I mean, is He communicating with you daily? Are you talking to Him? See, because you can hear the voice of God in a number of different ways, as we'll get into. You know, He talks to us in different ways. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. You know, you ever get that idea in your head, like I got this morning? Hey, that's not what I want you to give. That's not what I want you to present, because these are my children. They're not yours. He wants you to present things that's going to be beneficial and helpful, and it's something that they need. So you do this rather than what you were planning, because what you're planning was not, that's coming from you. That's not coming from God. So I want you to give this instead. So in verse 4 of chapter 33, Elihu said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life." He was all pumped up. "If thou answer, give me thy words in order before me. Stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish." And God said, "I am also formed out of the clay." Elihu was humble. He was yielded. He was listening in and tuned in to God. He was on God's frequency. "Behold, my terror shall not make you afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I've heard the voice of the word of your word, saying, I am clean." Jobi was saying, "I am clean, and I'm without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me." But see, there was iniquity in him. Job just didn't realize it. He didn't know it. God knew it. I don't even think Satan the devil knew it, because, you know, Satan is the one who went to God, and God said, "Have you been watching my servant Job?" And, yeah. And he says, Well, he's great in the world. He didn't even tell him, hey, this guy's got a problem. He said, but have you watched him, how he does this right, and he does that right, and he's this and that? And he said, yeah, but you've got a hedge all around him. You know, but you take everything away from him, and then he will come and curse you to your face. And God said, okay, he's all yours. But you see this? God is still in charge. Okay? Satan can only do what God allows him to do. He couldn't attack Joby unless God allowed him to. And so that's what he did. He only could go so far. And so he took away his children. He took away his house. He took away his farms. He took away his animals. He took away everything he had, except he didn't do anything to Joby because God said, you can't go that far. He only could go a certain distance. Okay? And so again, there was another time later when Satan appeared before God, because see, Satan has to give an accounting for what he's doing to our Father. Okay? He has to check in. Even though this world is his world, and he's usurping authority, and he's doing his thing, and this system is this evil, wicked world, God is allowing it. But you and I are protected. You and I have grace over us, covering us, keeping us so that we can go directly to God. We can communicate with God. Because, you know, God does not hear sinners, but he hears us. And we sin, don't we? But we can go and ask him to forgive us, to have mercy on us, and be kind and considerate to us, and he hears us. And he does just that. He forgives us for a lot of the things that we do. For all of the things we do on the Day of Atonement. All of our sins are washed away when we come with a pure heart and asking God to forgive and be merciful and help us. Even those things we're not aware of, he washes us clean so we can stand before him pure and our prayers can be heard and answered. He hears us. He answered me today. I had some tweezers that I lost back there in Franklin. Problem, I pray for little things. I've gotten in the habit of this little tiny thing. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me down here in Tampa, Florida. We were down here at the Feast of Tabernacles in 1983, and we were at the end of the feast. We were flying back to Chicago. And I had a briefcase with all my notes and my Bible in it, and we went to the airline terminal, and I sat it down because I think there was a lady that needed help getting on the airplane, and I was helping her get on the airplane, but I forgot and left my briefcase in the lobby of the airport. And but I thought that when I got on the plane, I had put it in the overhead hanger, or I don't know if you call it a trunk or carrying case or whatever. I put it in there, but when I got on the plane and I started looking for it after we sat down, the plane was in the air, I didn't have my case. It wasn't there. I said, well, maybe it's underneath the seat. So I looked under the seat. It wasn't in the seat. And there were about seven or eight people with us. I had them looking all over the plane. Maybe the case was on the plane. And then no one could find it. And we looked three times in the case over, and we looked under, and it just wasn't there. So then I went to the airline stewardess, and I said, you know, I've looked all over, and I don't have my case. I think I know where I left it. It was in the lobby of the airline station. Could you call back and tell them to set it aside and then ship it on maybe the next airplane, and I'll get it there? She says, sure, I'll do that. And so she made the calls, and she did that. And then I sat back in my seat and I said, well, God, help me to find this. I don't know where it is, but I hope it'll be there and that they'll be on the next airplane and we'll make connection with it. But do you know that little voice in the head said, Terry, look back up there in that carrying case. And I did. And there was my briefcase with my Bible in it and all my notes. God hears us, and he's got angels all around, and he can do things for us when we can't do them for ourselves. And so even little things that we need, God is able to do it for us. That's the kind of God that we have. And it's just, you know, it's something I couldn't do. I couldn't get back over there to that airline terminal and get that case in there, but he could. He said, send out an angel, and no one saw him put it in there, but it was there, and it wasn't there before, and everybody had checked, and it wasn't just me looking for it, it was seven other people looking, but it was there. And so if God can do those little things for us, he can do the big things when we need him. All we need to do is obey him, hear his voice, listen to him, and when he says, go here, go there, then we do it. We just need to be tuned into that frequency like we're having in Bible studies. So, you know, you're missing out when you don't come to our prayer, not the Bible studies, but the prayer services in the morning. We have an 8 o'clock prayer service right up here in this corner, and we pray for the campus and for everything that's going on here, and we're learning. God does communicate to us. He talks to us. At times, he rises up just like air. You know, he is the air. He created the air. The Spirit of God is air. It comes into us and it makes us to understand spiritual things that we didn't understand before. You know, before you became a member of the family of God, as children of God, God began to talk to you. He began to draw you. How did he do that? I mean, did he just call you up on the phone and do it? No, he has powers that we can't see. All he does is he can hiss for us, and some scriptures say. And he can just call out. But that passes down through this substance we call air. Oxygen, which is composed of a number of elements. But it's something that we breathe. And the life comes in through the nostrils and through the nose and through the mouth. And it goes into our bloodstream. And life is in the blood. It's in our bloodstream. But when God joins with that life, he gives us his Holy Spirit, and it joins with that Spirit inside of us, and we begin to understand spiritual things that we did not understand before. And there's a time in each one of our lives when we began to comprehend those things that we didn't know before, but they're spiritual things. They're insights. They're little nuggets of truths. They're wisdoms, and there's understanding, and there's comprehending. And you begin to see patterns that God works in. You begin to see that he does things in a system. He has a way of doing things. He's powerful, almighty. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He's the greatest being on the face of this earth. But he's the most humble person on the face of this earth, too. The most merciful person on the face of the earth. And he wants us to become like him. He doesn't want us to be arrogant. He doesn't want us to be puffed up. He wants us to be humble and yielded and submissive. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to change and transform. He's got plans for us for all eternity. A new world is coming. The children will be able to play with the wolf and the bear and on the cave of a snake, and it won't harm them. There will be peace and joy. There'll be one religion, only one, not multiple religions, one God ruling over this earth. And he's got plans for each and every one of us. There's a job for everybody in this room and everyone on the campus, and even those who aren't even here now, who don't even know what we're talking about. There's responsibilities and that God has for us. Each one of us is going to have our own place, our own vine. It might be just our children, because see, we hope to be changed in the spirit beings. But we're going to have our own fruit trees. We're going to have our own place, and it's going to be ours for the whole eternity in our generation that comes after us and our children after us. God has great, great plans. And one thing, he'll be one pure religion. I mean, one pure language. And it will be in Kumustad Museum. Okay, Amanda. You know, I was over at the Target store the other day, and I met a lady from Puerto Rico. And see, I speak a little bit of Spanish. You wouldn't know it, but I was fluent at one time in Spanish. But I don't speak it very often, and so I kind of lost it off. But I can still sing it. Ya no ronto grande, ya 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 don't be, un día la cerita, que le green. I started singing to her, and she just, she said, wow. And then you know what happened? She gave me a discount. I said, I got to go back to this store again. Maybe I'll learn another Spanish song that I can sing to her. But I can sing Spanish, but I can't speak it. And it's amazing to me that I can do that. I got, you know, I had a pretty good mind at one time. I had a fantastic memory, and I was maybe heads and shoulders above everybody else in my neighborhood until I got to college, and I found out I was just an average guy at that time. But I used to think that I was the brightest guy in the world, and I was going to try to run the country and become the president of the United States. That was me. Okay. And so, because I had that big head, and I got into politics and all that kind of stuff, but that wasn't what God wanted me to do, so I fortunately didn't go in that direction. But I'm finding out I'm not so smart at all. I'm a dummy, particularly when it comes to God. God is very, very smart, and the brightest guy in the whole world. Let's get back to this talk about that. I am clean, verse 9. I am clean without transgression. I'm innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counts me for his enemy. That's what Joby was saying. He puts my feet in the shocks. He marketh all my paths. Yes, that's what he was saying. And so we want to go down to verse 13. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For here, listen to this, brethren. Verse 14. For God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man does not perceive it. Why don't we perceive God all the time? Why don't we hear him when he's talking to us and communicating? Why don't we hear his voice? He talks to us in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbering upon the bed. Then he opens the ears of men, and he seals their instructions. Does God ever do that with you? Does God ever talk to you that way? Does he ever give you to wake you up? And then he did that to me today. I came up, it wasn't coming what I was going to talk about. I don't know, I'm going to not do this right, because it wasn't feeling comfortable. And all of a sudden he says, that's not what I want you to talk about. You're off on the wrong track. I want you to talk about this. I want you to talk about speaking to me, getting to know me better, communicating with me, hearing my voice. I don't want to talk about what you are going to talk about. You can talk about that later. You can talk about that with the brethren. Maybe in prayer service you can discuss it with Frank and Diana and Marcel and the others. But right now I just want you to talk to the brethren, because I want them to hear this. I want them to know that they can communicate with me more than what they're doing. Not that they're not, but he just wants to get us pumped up a little. He wants us to go from this feast knowing that we need to communicate with our Father and with his Son a lot more than we do, and we need to get to know them. See, when you leave here, you'll see a lot of people, and probably yourselves will be on the cell phones. You'll be talking to your friends, communicating to them. But see, we've got cell phones right in our heads with God. He talks to us directly. He does. He talks to us direct. We don't have to have a cell phone. We don't have to have this other frequency, the satellite frequency that they have here. We've got spiritual frequency. And because we've got spiritual frequency, it's able to go backwards and forwards. And he's able to do things for us. And we're able to get it. And if we do it and apply it, then we grow. And then we'll be ready for the next step. We'll be ready to be maybe changed. Because then, see, if we do all the growing and bring forth this love and this joy and this peace and this harmony that we were singing about in the song. And see, all of us are different. Remember, all of us are different. We all see things from a different perspective. But if we could just harmonize that and get it all together, you know, it would be a wonderful, wonderful world. And a wonderful, even a greater feast than what we got right now. Everything's running together smoothly. You know, just like we were talking about singing songs and how you have the tenor and the bass and the alto and the soprano, they're all singing. They're singing the same song. They're singing, maybe the notes are slightly different, but they blend those voices together, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sound when it's done just right. Well, that's what God wants us to become like. He wants us to blend together and have our sounds just right. You know, where we are, when we're doing things together, like we're working on activities together, everyone has a part. We're unloading the van, or we're loading the van, or we're doing this or that. And then everyone has a part in it. It's not just one person doing it all. We're working together. Isn't it a lot of fun when you do things together and everybody has the same mindset? It's a joy. It's happiness, and it's much better than working separately. You know, I used to run a department, you know, several departments in some of the large insurance companies. And one of the things I would do, God taught me this, and so it's not my, I don't get credit for it, God did it, okay? But I learned how to work in harmony with the people that worked for me. And we had the best departments. I worked at Allstate, I worked at Home Indemnity, I worked at CNA, I worked at USF&G, I worked at, they're some of the largest companies out there. And what happened is that some of the other managers got upset because we were doing things a lot better. All it was is that everybody enjoyed coming to work. They enjoyed working together because we worked in harmony. We had set jobs to do. We had one had this to do, and it was always Terry. They didn't call me Mr. Williams. It was just Terry. You know, can I do this and can I do that? And if they were good at it, I let them do it. If they weren't, then I had somebody else to do it. But we did it better than anyone else, and we made more money, and the company was prosperous because we weren't there to just try to make lots and lots of money. We made a good income, but it wasn't that we were out there to make become wealthy and well to do. You couldn't on insurance companies anyway. But the thing is, it was a pleasant thing to do, to work in harmony with the multiple of people where they all have different jobs and different assignments, and they work together, and there's peace within the department. It just makes things more prosperous. They don't mind coming to work. They enjoy coming to work, and hardly any of them ever lost any time because it was a pleasant place to come, and they just didn't want to work for anybody else. They just wanted to work for me. And it was because they were learning the principles and laws of God. They're working together in harmony and peace. And if they had problems, I didn't do the work. I knew how to do it. But if they could do it better than me, I told them, if you can do this job, here's how I do it. If you can do it better, then go ahead and do it. As long as we get everything done in the right way, then fine. That's good with me. And so constantly, we were always on top of things because the laws and principles of God were being applied in that company. They didn't understand. They thought that maybe I was just being a show-off, but it wasn't. Just as simple as applying God's principles and laws to a situation and to a job environment, it really makes a difference. And the workers are happy. They're contented. I'm contented. It's just the managers, well, they're doing such a good job, they probably can do better. And they start loading more and more stuff on you, giving you more and more work because you're doing the job. But, you know, we have the capacity to do it, and so we did it. And then when we left, everything fell apart. So they couldn't do the job the way we did it because they didn't have God's Spirit, see? It wasn't there leading and guiding it. And so they were doing things carnally, motivated by the carnal mind and not by the Spirit of God. Okay, that's it. Again, that's another way that God talks to us. We'll find out. We're in 1 Kings chapter 19. There was a guy named Elijah who he did some great things, but he got scared. There was a lady. I think her name was Jezebel. Is that it? He called fire down from heaven, and he killed all of these false prophets, the prophets of Baal. But then she said, I'm going to get you for you killed all my prophets. You killed all my false ministers, and I don't have them anymore. I'm going to get you, buddy. And so, you know, does this ever happen to you? You do these things, miraculous things, and things are going smooth, and then all of a sudden you get scared. I mean, you get, hey, it's not working out the way I wanted it to work out. And she's coming after me, or he's coming after me. He's going to get me. Well, that's what happened to Elijah. So Ahab, her husband, told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. He killed all his prophets, and he had called fire down from heaven and all that kind of a thing. And so then Jezebel sent messengers unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She threatened him, and he got scared. And what does Elijah do? Now, he'd just been talking to God, and he asked him to do these wonderful things, to call fire down from heaven and destroy this sacrifice was there, and to prove that he was the minister of God, he was the servant of God, and he proved it. And this one lady came up and said, I'm going to get you, buddy. And he started running. He got scared. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He's running for his life. And he just had the power of God working in his life, and now he's scared. Has that ever happened to you? I think it's happened to me, because I know of an instance where it's happened to me, where I've done these powerful things. Not, I haven't done them. I take that back. God's done them. And he's working through me, and then something happens, and I get scared. And then I start going the opposite way until I catch myself. What do I need to be scared of? I'm the Son of God. I've got all power in heaven. But it happens to us at times. And you have to, we're still human. And we forget sometimes. This carnal mind makes us, it's crazy, really. But he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Poor Elijah, ready to die because the woman is chasing after him. Now, what would you do if a woman was chasing after you? don't answer that. That's all right. And it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. See, he's still got connection with God, even though he's running. He's still a child of God, isn't he? He's still a servant of God. While he's back here, he was a servant of God. And so what he's doing, he said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And here's the miracle. Brother, look at this next verse. And he arose and he ate and he drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, can you do that? God can. Because there's a scripture in the Bible that says, the time is coming when we're going to walk and not faint. And we're going to run and not get weary. And God never wearies, and he's able to give us that kind of power and that kind of strength within us. We're going to be able to do those things, brethren. We are going to be able to do mighty things in this world. I believe even before the return of Christ, I think that there's going to be power back. I know we're scattered, and the scriptures to me tell me that we're supposed to be scattered, because in James it says it, in Peter it says it, but there's also some scripture says that he's going to gather us together, and I believe those. Maybe sometime we'll talk about it a little bit. There are scriptures that tell us that God is going to gather his sheep. He's going to bring us together, and he's going to teach us. Remember the scripture over in Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me by still waters, he restoreth my soul. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of God forever. Our shepherd is Jesus Christ. Our door is Jesus Christ. Our leader, our King of Kings, is Jesus Christ. And he's going to lead us, and he's going to be that forefront. He's going to take us to that pavilion, and we're going to be protected and guided. I know Gospel Railway Church has a little different concept on that, but there's things that are still in the scriptures. As we begin to see it, you'll be able to understand it more. And I'm not here to preach a new doctrine or anything or expand on it, because there's some things that I see, and I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else and I have greater insight. There's just things that I see that others don't quite see yet. It doesn't make a difference, and I don't use the word on levels because I've heard that before, but we're in different classrooms, right? We're in different classrooms, or maybe stages, if you want to use that word. There's just different comprehensions on things. And so we need to be able to accept and check up and prove things to ourselves about things that are maybe we're not clear on yet. And I think when Christ gets here, he's going to straighten it all up. Because he's going to teach us. He's going to teach us, when is the Passover? When is the Day of Atonement? What you do? What moon do you follow? Or do you follow the moon? He's going to get it all straight. So even though we've got different concepts and everything, don't worry about it. Just do what you have proven to yourself to the best of your ability, and God will give you what you need in the right time. But back to Elijah when he's running here. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what do you do here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, and they've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am the only one left. Have you ever been that way? I've been that way. I've been the only one left. The only one left. God, where are you? Where are all these people? They're my brethren, but they're over there, they're doing something different. For 16 years, I was pretty much by myself, studying on my own. And then he began to show some brethren other things, and I began to start fellowshipping with others who began to come out of Babylon. We were in the congregation that had, we were the only true church, weren't we? Were we? Or is it that there are brethren who are the only true brethren? See, there's a hierarchy that was over us telling us, hey, you guys can't do anything unless you come to us. And then, you know, if you want to get married to this one or that one, you got to check in with us. Let's see if it's the right one for you or not. Okay? And if you want to go to Ambassador College, you got to be this thing and this thing and that thing in order to go. If you don't meet those qualifications, you can't be a student there. So I couldn't go because I didn't meet the qualifications. And I won't tell you what those were. I was a good student, though. Okay? And that wasn't a qualification. Back to verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous again. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down the altars, and slain their prophets with the sword, and I even only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. There was only one person seeking his life to take it away, and that was Jezebel. And here, poor Elijah was scared to death from this woman. But she had some power, and I guess she had an army that could trot out after him and do him in. And so he was afraid of her. He was not thinking about God. But here it is. He's in the cave, and then he's seen this miracle where he's gone 40 days and 40 nights. And he says, hey, God must still be with me. So, hey, maybe I don't need to be afraid. And then what happened? Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, what was it? A wee small voice that talks to us often. Sometimes you think it's just yourself. Sometimes you think it's just your thoughts. But God puts things into our minds, and we can comprehend spiritual things. We can understand things that others don't see and comprehend, because God is working with us. He's dealing with us. We have insights into things And if you're not sure, you can check it with the brethren and bounce it off of them, and iron sharpens iron, doesn't it? So you can find out what you know and what you don't know, whether it's you're on track or not. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" That voice again. See, God talks to us. Isn't that what we're getting in prayer service before we start? We're talking about how God talks to us and how He communicates with us. You're missing out if you're not coming to prayer service in the morning, 8 o'clock. You might miss out on the food over in the dining hall, but we're getting some food, brother. But we're also praying for everybody, too. So that's the good thing. It's a give and take. God gives, and we give right back. And it's just like breathing. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We breathe in, what is it, oxygen? And we breathe out carbon dioxide. And there's a transfer. It's the plants all around us are breathing out carbon dioxide, and they breathe in oxygen. And there's a process called transpiration that goes on all around us in the leaves of the trees. They're giving off and emitting into the air little particles of water that go up and they rise and form a steam, and then they get so high up and they form on a little speck of dust, and they form the clouds in the air. And then it gets to the point where there's condensation and begins to fall back to the earth again in the form of rain. It's just a beautiful cycle that God has. God is everywhere around us if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We can see Him every place, including the people that are here. When you talk to people, you can see God in them. You can see them obeying God. You can see the principles. We all have flaws and faults, but there's things about us that show us that God is working with us. Even the children, too. I know the children sometimes don't comprehend, and some of this might be a little boring for them, but the time is coming where they're going to understand perfectly what we're talking about. And they say, "Oh, I heard that back in 2007. That's what they were talking about. But right now, they may not comprehend it. But they're here, and so it's sinking in, and the time is coming when it will become a reality to them, and they'll say, "Hey, that's what that was all about. I just didn't know that." So it's a good thing. Okay, in verse 14, "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." It's not a they, it's only a she, Jezebel. And he's scared to death of this one lady who has maybe the power of of an army to chase after him. "And the Lord said unto him," in the sweet small voice again, "go and return on your way in the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come there, you anoint this guy Hazael to be the king over Syria." See, God is still working with him. He's not going to let him die. He's got a job to do. He's got work. And so he's not giving up on him, just like us. He's not giving up on us. He just wants us to hear his voice more. He wants us to listen for him. He wants us just to obey him and comprehend and be tuned into his frequency so that we can grow more and we become more like him, and we can change and be transformed because he's got these jobs for us ahead. In verse 16, "And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall follow anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Mithoth shall you anoint to be prophet in your room." He's got a mentoring program, just like we're trying to do with the Return to Torah. He started with mentoring program. Okay, you're going to mentor Elisha to take your room, to take your place, so that when I come and take you away, you'll have a replacement, and the people won't be left without a servant or a prophet. "And it shall come to pass that him that has escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay." But here, get this. "Yet I have left me," this is God saying, okay, "I've left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees have not bowed unto Baal." See, there's brethren out there that aren't necessarily here with us who are still worshiping God. We may not know them, some of them we know, but we're all scattered. We're in different places. We're all around this world in different countries. Even over in Belgium, I'm finding out. I got a friend there who's maybe one day we'll get a chance to go and visit with them and check out the services over there and see how they are. But well, we've got people down in South America, we've got them in Canada, we've got them all over. So even though it seems like we're all alone and we're all by ourselves, no, there are people all over for us. And these people have not bowed the knee to Baal. So God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word of God, through our Bible studies and our meditation and our talking to Him in prayer, and that He will communicate to us in His voice, a wee small voice within the head, and we can communicate with Him through other people, and we can see what He is doing. So there's different ways for God to talk to us. And so let's go over here to John chapter 10 for a minute. Let's listen to what in the New Testament, what Jesus tells us to do. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." See, the Lord is our shepherd. Christ is our shepherd. He leads us. He doesn't force us. He leads us. "To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him." Do we follow the shepherd? Are we the sheep? Remember back in John 21 where Christ told Peter, "I want you to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep." And he told it to him three times. "You feed my lambs. You feed my sheep." There is a nourishment that we need. We need to feed one another. We need to feed the sheep. And we are the sheep. Christ is the shepherd. He also is something else here. "And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Do we know his voice, brethren? That's the message that God wants me to try to get across today. Getting to know the voice of God. Getting to know the voice of Christ. Listen to him attentively every single day when you wake up in the morning during the day. Look for him around while you're at this feast. Get in the habit of doing it. Make an agenda. As often as you can, try to find in him. Try to hear his voice. See it in other people. See it in the ocean. See it in the sky, in the clouds, and in the trees, and wherever you go. In the buildings, in the food that we eat. Try to see him. Try to think of all the different ways where he could be around and in the environment. And it's verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Is that what happened to us in the world? In the Worldwide Church of God, we found out that they were strangers. You know, there's over in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 6, it says that the people of God are surrounded by this hierarchy, really. And so truth does not go forth. And we were shackled because we could only do so much. We always had to check in. And if we weren't doing the check-in, then we were bad guys. But see, God wants us to be free. He wants us to come out of Babylon. That was a kind of a Babylon as opposed to Egypt. Okay? I don't know. I guess it was more of an Egypt than it was a Babylon when you think about it. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So he's identifying himself. I am the door. I'm not only the shepherd, but I'm the door of the sheep. And I open it. Where do we see that? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. He's the door. He's the shepherd. And he says, "If you hear my voice, obey me. And then he that hears my voice will overcome and grow, and we'll be in the kingdom with him." I'm just using my own words, but you can read it for yourself. Oh, there are seven churches that are listed in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. There's one that's more of a standard than the others. The others are mixed of truth and error there. No. Do we belong to the one or the other? We need to examine ourselves and check on ourselves, and we need to hear God's voice so we'll know what to do and whether we're on track with Him and if we really are obeying Him, because He wants us to become like pillars. He is going to build His church, and we want to be a part of that building. We want to be with Him. And so the way you do it is by listening to Him. You don't do it by doing your own thing. So He just wants a call to get back, to repent and to change and get back to listening for His voice in the words of God, in personal Bible study, and messages that you hear here from the pulpit, messages that you hear from talking to one another and doing things and eating together, fellowshipping together, playing together, eating, going out on different activities. He wants us to do things together. He wants that love to grow. He wants that mercy and that kindness and that consideration. He wants that interaction. And sure, we have problems, and there are ways that we work it out, doing it the way that God wants, listening to His Word, going to His Word, applying the Word. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, it's getting close, brethren, I've got to wrap it up. But, you know, we have thieves and robbers all around us before. And the thieves and the robbers didn't care for us. They were just interested in the money they could put in their pocket, or the homes they lived in, or the cars they could run around in or drive. They weren't concerned about the sheep. They didn't have our welfare in mind, but we were to have the welfare of one another. And one of the welfares that we concern ourselves with are the widows and the orphans and the young people. We need to really be concerned about that group as well as with each one of us. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And when we're obeying God, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Really, it truly is. You're happy, you're peaceful, you're contented. There's a certain joy that you can't explain to other people when you know you're obeying God and He's working out things for you in your life. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters them. Why do you think we're scattered? The hireling fleeth because he is just a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But Christ says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and they know me. And so that's what God wants us to understand. In verse 16, to end it up, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear a voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And the time is coming when we're going to be gathered together, and our King of Kings, our leader, our shepherd is going to come and teach us and instruct us in the words of God. And we're going to live together, and we're going to be for all eternity from that point on. Eternity is just a state. It's not. There's no beginning and no end. I really believe, and it's just me, it's my opinion, that we always existed. We just don't know about it because we're still human. I think that when we become God, we will know just as much as God. Well, let's not take that back. We're going to know as God knows us. I don't want to get too far ahead. He might pound me here. But no, we're going to be like God. We're going to have that same kind of capability and that same kind of power that He has. He's going to share that with us, and that's what this life is all about. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. We come here to be fed. We come here to be fed spiritual food as well as physical food. We come here to receive spiritual drink as well as physical drink. We come here to be inspired and encouraged and uplifted. We're here to grow so that we can become members of the very family of God, which we are, but we need that spiritual body added to us.